Well, if I were to ask you, what is the most common emotional pain that people in our culture struggle with? Many of you perhaps might answer anxiety or depression or maybe shame and guilt. But really the most common emotional pain in our culture is loneliness. The problem of loneliness is not new to this particular time of the pandemic, but issues of loneliness are worse right now than they have been in recent history. Because many people have remained locked up at home during a good part of this year. Feelings of isolation, feelings of loneliness have escalated to much higher levels than usual. But despite the negative effects of loneliness, I want to just share with you this morning a thought. Loneliness is not abnormal. Loneliness is actually a fairly common, a normal feeling. It is a normal reaction to what we might call a subnormal condition. Everyone feels lonely at some time. After a painful loss, after a breakup with a spouse or a lover, when we move to a new place, when we are excluded from some sort of social gathering. For us, friendship is like food. We need it in order to survive. And God has given us a basic drive for friendship and for companionship. And psychologists even observe how this God-given drive manifests itself in our fundamental need for inclusion in group life and social relationships. We function best when our social needs are met. So although loneliness is neither abnormal or uncommon, it is also not good. God says that right from the beginning of His Word. It is not good for man to be alone. And during this Advent season, we have been looking at the problem of loneliness and the way God's gift of Jesus, the babe of Bethlehem, meets our deepest needs. Right from the outset of the New Testament in chapter 1 of Matthew's gospel, as the birth of Jesus is announced to Joseph, Jesus is linked to Isaiah's ancient prophecy about a virgin bearing a son and calling his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. God walking with us. God talking with us. God taking our lives on Himself. God present with us in a new way, unlike anything that had ever occurred before. Now, phenomenally, if you fast forward to the very end of Matthew's gospel, right before Jesus leaves earth to go back to heaven, Jesus underscores the fact that although He will now be physically absent from His followers, He will still be present with His people in a very real, in a very meaningful way. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16, we read that as Jesus leaves the earth, it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" It is this very last phrase in verse 20 that I want to focus on with you on this final Sunday of Advent. And I have been praying that as we do so, that God's Spirit will cause your spirits and your thoughts and your emotions to linger on and to be refreshed, or just to entertain, maybe for the first time, these promises from Jesus. And not just to welcome them into your hearts for an hour or even for the week to come, but that these words will become an ongoing frame of reference for all of us as we move forward into the future. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Why are these final words from Jesus so important for us to remember and to hold on to? I mean, it's understandable for Jesus' first disciples, when Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, that they're going to be filled with confusion and fear and discouragement. If I were one of Jesus' disciples, I wouldn't want Jesus to leave. Jesus performed incredible miracles. No one ever spoke like Jesus. And Jesus stood up to bullies and defended the poor, the downtrodden, the oppressed people of his day. If Jesus would just stay put, life would be so much easier. So it's not hard to imagine that this moment that the disciples are feeling isolated or abandoned or alone or confused, perhaps powerless, certainly concerned about what the future will hold. And doesn't that describe many of us today? Obviously, there are many reasons to have concerns about what the future will hold as we deal with the ongoing effects of all of the challenges that God has brought into our lives during 2020. As we've already observed, issues associated with loneliness are likely to be an ongoing concern. All the way back in a 2003 article in Psychology Today, it's noted that evidence has been growing that when our need for social relationship is not met, we fall apart mentally and even physically. Deborah Cohen with the BBC writes, "Doctors have known for some time that loneliness is bad for the mind. It leads to mental health problems like depression, stress, anxiety, and a lack of confidence. But there's growing evidence that social isolation is connected with an increased risk of physical ill health as well." So when our social need is not met, it affects us not only emotionally, but also physically. When our social need is met, it's far easier to stay motivated to meet the various challenges that life brings. And that is why Jesus' final words to his disciples give us not only the purpose we need for living, but they also give us a promise of hope that will sustain us in our lives. Hope is essential not just to survive, but to thrive. Take away hope and life stops. Take away hope and growth stops. Take away hope and creativity stops. Effort stops. Like Jesus' first followers, we need both purpose and hope. We need a purpose and a hope that is a rock-solid foundation that is rooted in the most important relationship we will ever have, our relationship with God. Like the 11 disciples, as they stand on the Mount of Olives and they watch Jesus ascend into the clouds, we have a mission to fulfill, but we need the assurance that we are not left alone to accomplish our mission. As followers of Christ, we need assurance. We need God-given assurance that God is with us. And that is why Jesus makes this phenomenal promise to his disciples back then and to us. "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Although the mission of making disciples and the assurance of Jesus' continuing presence is critically important to us, there's something even more important that we must not overlook in Jesus' final words to his disciples. How does Jesus begin this conversation back in verse 18? He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Jesus, in making this promise, reminds his followers then that he possesses the right and the power and the integrity both to commission them and to make promises to them. God has the authority to command and to commission, as well as the power to make and to keep the promises that he makes. The promise Jesus makes in Matthew 28, verse 20, is monumentally important to everyone who seeks to follow Christ with all of their heart, all of their soul, all of their mind, and all of their strength. And so I want to look with you briefly this morning at each one of these 12 crucial words. First word, behold. Behold is like a red alert. Behold is like the emergency warning on your cell phone that suddenly starts beeping. Warning, we're going to get 3 feet of snow. Warning, you know, watch out. Behold, the word behold pulls us in. It calls for us to pay close attention, knowing that what follows must neither be ignored or forgotten. Behold tells us to stop everything, to wait with anticipation, to expect that something amazing is about to be said. By putting us on alert with Jesus' use of the word behold, Matthew links Jesus' final words to the very beginning of his narrative back in chapter 1, verse 20. At the very beginning of the story of Jesus, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What God says, he will do. God is a God of the promise. God will not lie. Behold, I am with you. And I am. It is so easy for us to read these two little words and to let our eyes bounce over them without really stopping to think about all that is connected with the words, I am. But by putting these two words together back to back in the mouth of Christ, it reminds us of the reality that Jesus is the infinite, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, omniscient, self-sufficient one. Jesus is eternally God. Back in the Old Testament book of Exodus, when Moses meets God on the mountainside at the burning bush, God gives Moses a commission. And just like Jesus' final commission to his disciples, Moses is commanded to go. Moses is commissioned to go and to tell Pharaoh to set the Israelites free. As part of that commission, Moses is also commissioned to go and speak to the leaders of the Israelites and give them certain instructions. However, Moses is reluctant. He's afraid to do what God commands him to do. And as Moses attempts to anticipate all of the barriers that may possibly derail him in his mission, all the forms of opposition to God's plan that he may face, Moses asks God, if I come to the people of Israel and they say to me, I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am is the name by which God calls himself. I am, a reminder that God is eternal, without beginning, without end. God was, God is, God will be. A reminder that God is not dependent upon anything else for his existence. God is the creator. God is the sustainer of all that exists. In unchanging fashion, unchanging character, God is never in the process of becoming. He is never something different than what he has always been. God is the same yesterday and today and forever. So when Jesus uses this expression, I am, it is not simply a combination of a subject and a verb. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus highlights time and again his divine identity, referring to himself as I am, and using I am to underscore both his purpose for coming and his intimate relationship with us. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the door. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And now as Jesus returns to heaven, he says, I am with you. What does it mean for Jesus to say that? What does it mean for you to say, I am with you? For Jesus' first disciples, just 10 days after Jesus ascends back to heaven, Jesus and the Father send the Holy Spirit to come and permanently dwell and take up residence in all who believe Jesus. And since that moment, whenever anyone responds in faith to the good news that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus lived a sinlessly perfect life, that Jesus died in our place as a substitute to pay for a sacrifice, the only sufficient sacrifice for our sin, that Jesus rose from the dead after his crucifixion, proving his power over sin and death. At the moment you believe, at the moment you confess this, you become a recipient of God's amazing grace. And in this moment of salvation, Jesus comes into your life. Jesus is with you. The Holy Spirit unites you to Jesus. Christ dwells in your heart through faith. Because Jesus is with you, your life, your destiny, your purpose, they all change. If you belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ, then God is with you. God is inside of you. God has moved into your life. You are forever changed. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When you make this confession of faith, every manger scene you will ever see reminds you that God is with you. Jesus came to be with you. You have the promise of God's presence now, and you have the promise, the certain hope that God is with you forever. Jesus is with you. You are no longer alone. You are precious to Jesus. Through Jesus, you have significance. Jesus knows the very hairs on your head. Jesus knows you. He cares for you. He understands you. And Jesus promises you that he himself, your divine, resurrected, living, eternal Lord, is with you always to the end of the age. Your security, your dependency, your identity now reside in your relationship with Christ. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with you. If Jesus is with you, you have life. You have abundant life now and always. I am with you always to the end of the age. And always means always. It doesn't mean most of the time, some of the time, I'm here today, maybe gone tomorrow. No, it means all the days to the end of the age, on and on and on throughout eternity. Even when we fail, God is still with us. God is faithful to his promise to be with us always. Because Jesus is with me, because he is with you, we have hope. We have an amazing, a powerful, a constant, confident hope. And with this hope, what else can we do but praise and glorify God by living for him and fulfilling his purpose for us? You are not alone. If your heart belongs to Jesus, when you're feeling lonely, when you feel that you've been abandoned, when you feel isolated, you can hold tightly to the truth that God is present, even if you don't feel it to be so. Whether you feel it or not, God is always there. You may feel lonely, but you are never alone. When everyone else fails you, the Lord will not. When no one else understands, Jesus does. Jesus alone is the answer to our loneliness. Because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, you never need to be alone. You never have to wonder how you can please God. You never have to worry if your efforts are enough. You can simply rest in the peace knowing that Christ is with you. Christ is in you. Christ loves you. He will never leave you. He will never let you go. If you claim Jesus as your Savior, recognize and confess that loneliness is a conquered foe. A foe, yes, but a conquered foe. Don't look for people to fill the void that only God can fill. Just rest in Jesus' presence with you. Cultivate your awareness of Jesus' presence in your life. Usher in the Lord's presence with worship and ask for the guidance to continue to have a heart that is full of gratitude and love and thanksgiving for his coming to earth to reconnect you in a right relationship with God and with each other through his work on the cross. Rejoice that you are no longer separated from God because of your sin. Abide in Jesus as your life source, just like a branch is connected to a vine. Knowing that Jesus is with you, fight loneliness by taking the same message of hope and comfort that you have received and share it with others who need to know Jesus. These final words of Jesus, they're not only given at this particular moment in Jesus' ministry, at this final ministry. No, Jesus has promised his presence throughout his earthly ministry. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, Jesus tells us he's present in our worship. Even if only two or three people are gathered together, he is present. But now, as Jesus repeats this promise one last time, the promise of his presence to all who will follow him in faith, he attaches it to not our worship, but to our witness. It's not only when we meet in Jesus' name that God is with us. When we go in Jesus' name, he promises to be with us. So do your best, despite all of the challenges of the difficult time we're going through, to look out for the needs of those who are around you, those whom you see, those whom you know, like the character in the story. Have your eyes, have your heart open to the needs in the world around you. Do you have a neighbor? Do you have a friend who lives by him or herself? Well, bring the light of Jesus to them by being present with them in whatever tangible way that you can. If God could come down from heaven to be present with us, to be alongside of us, then we should do all that we can to be alongside of others. Knowing that Jesus is all-powerful and personally present with us to the end makes it impossible for us to ignore the needs and the concerns of others as we just focus on our own personal, private comfort. As you seek to serve God in these days, refresh your mind and your spirit with the truth of God's presence with you now, and then look beyond this life to the day when we will be physically in the Lord's presence once again. The promise is there in Revelation 21:3. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Spend time with Jesus, Emmanuel. Doing that, it will renew your strength. It will revive your spirit. In his presence, you will become rooted and grounded in love. You will receive the love of Christ just as if it were oxygen for your soul. It is that connection that you need in order to thrive in the world. Jesus coming into the world fully human, fully divine, assures us that we are no longer alone. Jesus' love is a love that conquers loneliness. I want to invite you to pray with me, and then we're going to share together about the way that the light of his love has come to our world. God, thank you that your love is a love that conquers loneliness. In that one glorious moment when you stepped across the threshold of eternity into time and all eternity was shaken as you broke through the darkness, as you broke through all the separation that kept us apart, as you came with a love that conquers loneliness, as you fill us with all of your hope, as you reveal to us what it truly means to have you as Emmanuel, God, with us, and the fact that we need now never face life alone. We thank you, God. We thank you that you are our Father. We thank you that you are our friend. We thank you that you are with us to the end. And we pray, Lord God, that you would continue to be gracious, that you would minister to us, that you would help us to minister to others, that you would remind us of our need, our opportunity, our privilege to go and to share the promise and the hope that you are with us now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.